Go with me, if you would, back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I want to open this message being as honest and as clear and as straightforward and as truthful as I can possibly be. I want to tell us a few truthful things, and then we're going to prove it in the Word of God. You do not have to make a decision in order to be saved. That's a big one. That's a big one. Oh, I wish people could hear this. You do not have to make a decision to be saved. Isn't that so contrary to what's being said, what's told, natural man? You do not have to make a decision to be saved. Is that shocking? You do not have to come down front to be saved. Is this true? Absolutely. You do not have to come down front to be saved. You do not have to change your life to be saved. You don't have to do that. You do not have to clean up your life to be saved. You don't have to do that. You do not have to give up anything in order to be saved. You do not have to stop sinning in order to be saved. I think I'll repeat that one. You do not have to stop sinning in order to be saved. If our salvation is dependent on whether or not we're sinners, none of us will be saved. And the reason is because all of us are sinners. Right now, right here, starting with me. All of us are sinners. If my salvation is dependent on me not sinning, I have no hope. If my salvation is dependent on me not sinning, I have no hope. But thank God it is not dependent on that. Thank God. There is nothing that we can do or not do in order to be saved. Nothing. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, there are four words in our text that I want us to focus on this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, and then here are the four words, when he was called. When he was called. Sinners are called to salvation. God is the one who does the calling. Many people believe that God spoke this world into existence. Many people believe that. Many people. They believe He spoke the heavens into existence. They believe He spoke everything on this earth into existence. They believe He formed man from the dust of the ground. They believe He was able to do every bit of that. But for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason they don't believe He's able to save. Able to do all these other things, but not able to save. People naturally do not believe that He alone is able to save their soul. They believe that they have to help Him. He didn't need my help creating this world, did He? He didn't need my help creating my body. He didn't need my help creating my soul and putting my soul in my body. But people believe that they need to help Him. They believe they need to let Him. They believe they have to set everything up just right. They believe that they have to make all the conditions just right. They have to tip everything in His favor before He's able to save them. They do not believe that God is God. That's the problem. They don't believe God is God. And we're either going to find out that God is indeed God right now, or we're going to find out that He is God when we go stand before Him. One of the two. And when we go stand before Him, if we are notified of the fact that He did not call us to eternal life, then we're going to spend an eternity, an absolute eternity, in damnation, in destruction, in God's hell. That's strong language, isn't it? Strong language. And we'll do that no matter how much we cleaned up our life. Isn't that right? We'll do that no matter how much we made our decision and were confirmed in our decision. We'll do that no matter how much we thought we weren't sinning. The only hope that we have is to be called of God. That's the only hope we have. Called of God. The title of this message is, Has God Called Me? Have I been called? Now I want to show you four things about God's call. And then we'll try to answer that question for every one of us in this room. Has God called me? Let's start with four things about His call. Number one, God's call is a particular call. All right? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He said, I was called to it. Verse 6 says, Among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ? He said, if God saved you, you were also called. He said, God called me. And he said, if God has saved you, He called you. And now he says, this is who I'm writing to. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every loved, chosen saint of God is called to be a loved, chosen saint of God. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is union with Christ. That's what salvation is. Union with Christ. If we're going to be a part of that union, we must be called to it. Must be. Look right here at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Does that mean what I think it means? Yes, it does. This is a particular calling. Well, what does he mean by not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble are called? He means not many mighty, not many wise, and not many noble are called. That's what he means. That brings us to the next thing about God's call. It's a sovereign call. It's a sovereign call. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen. And that's the key. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, what does that mean? That means God calls who He wants to call. That's what it means. God does what He wants to do, and God saves who He wants to save. That's what it means. Look with me at Galatians 1. Galatians 1, the Apostle Paul right here is talking about all of his own ignorance and his own arrogance and his own self-righteousness and his own sin. He said in verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me. He said, that's the moment my eyes were open. That's the moment my ears were open. That's the moment I heard the voice of God Almighty right then and there. When He called me by His grace. Called me by His grace. Can't we say the same thing? God came and called us by His grace. God calls who He wants to call, when He wants to call. It's His timing. Who He wants, when He wants. It's a particular call. It's a sovereign call. And the third thing is, it's an effectual call. Look with me at John 11. There are many examples in the Scripture of God's effectual call. All of them have the same outcome this one does. We could look at any of them. We'll just look at this one. John chapter 11 verse 1 says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse 38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. God's call is an all-powerful command. His call is always an all-powerful command. It is not an invitation. God's call is not an invitation. Not at all. He did not say, Now Lazarus, if you will accept me as your personal Savior, I would like to raise you from the dead if you would be okay with that. He didn't say that. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. God's call is an almighty, all-powerful command. We're commanded to be saved. When he calls sinners, come. They come. God is not trying to save anybody. God is not trying to save anybody. Nobody. When he purposes to save a sinner, he sends his alarming, it is so alarming, he troubles the soul. It's so awakening. It's a call that the soul of a sinner has no choice but to respond to. That sinner will respond. If God calls, that sinner will respond. David said, When you said, Seek ye my face, my heart said, Thy face will I seek. That's the exact moment my soul was moved. I had no choice. I'm going to start seeking your face. If God ever calls, we're coming. We're coming. This is a notification. If God has called us, we're coming. We're not inviting anybody to come. If God has called us, we're coming. We're coming. That's the fourth thing about this call. God's call is a saving call. It is a call unto salvation. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse 28 says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, and the word translates elect, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. How can a sinner be justified before God? Meaning, when a sinner stands before God, and every sinner will stand before God, when a sinner stands before God, what will it take for God to look at that sinner and say, "Well pleased, well done"? What will it take? The only way a sinner can be justified before God is in Christ. That's the only way. He must be standing. If he's standing outside of Christ, if he's standing inside of Christ, he must be in Christ. He has to be covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's call is a call to come inside Christ. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified in the blood and righteousness of Christ. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What did they do? They just got elected. They just got called. They just got justified. They just got glorified. Christ did it all. Christ did it all. Every soul called into Christ is going to be glorified with Christ. Now, here's what I want to know, and I would imagine this is what you want to know too. Have I been called? Have I been called? Has God called me? If this is my only hope of salvation, have I been particularly, sovereignly, effectually, savingly called? We're going to find the answer to that out by looking at Abraham. Okay? Looking how Abraham was called. Verse 8, back in Hebrews 11. It says, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Romans 4 says that this way. Galatians 3 also says that this way. And James 2 also says that this way. Abraham believed God. He believed God. He believed what God said. Only the called believe God. Only the called. Almost everybody believes that you have to make a decision in order to be saved. Almost everybody believes that. It's because everybody's being lied to. Bless their hearts. Everybody's being told you have to make a decision to be saved. Almost everybody believes that somehow man's will plays a role in salvation. Well, now you have to make a decision now. You have to want it. You have to will it. You have to want it. All right, well, let's see what God has to say about it. Look with me at Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 15 says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth." God says it is not our decision. That's what God says. It's not our decision. God says man plays no role. Have I been called of God? Has God called me? Well, man says it's of my will. God says it's of His will. Who do I believe? Abraham, when he was called, he believed God. He believed God. Almost everybody believes that the things we do play a role in salvation. Almost everybody believes that. Almost everybody believes that in order to be saved, you have to do this, do that, run here, run there, work, work, work. Almost everybody believes that. Let's see what God has to say about it. Right here in Romans 9, verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Has God called me? You've got to be called. Has God called me? Well, man says do. God says it's done. Who do we believe? Who do we believe? Abraham, when he was called, he believed God. The lie of religion tells people you're going to have to stop sinning. If you want to be saved, let's start right here, okay? You're going to have to stop sinning. Before you can be saved, you have to stop sinning. Let's see what our God has to say about it. Go to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have I received God's true saving call? Has God called me? Well, the lie of false religion says, Christ came to call the righteous. God says, Christ said, I came to call sinners. Who do we believe? Who do we believe? As the truth of this word comes to me, here we read it, we listen to it, as it comes to me, has God given me a heart to bow to it? I know I haven't been told that my whole life. Nobody told me that, but that's what it says. Has God given me a heart to believe it, bow to it, seek Christ to be my only hope in it? Has He given me a heart to come to Him, not go to my works, not go to anything, anybody, but Him alone? His blood alone, His righteousness alone, His work alone? If He has, the answer's yes. Have I been called of God? Yes. If He's caused me to believe His word, bow to His word, and see Christ as my all, yes. Yes. And if you can say the same thing, then let's close with this. I want to close by telling you this. Go to Ephesians 2. If God has given us a heart to believe what He has written, bow to what He has written, and run to Christ alone, then this is what He has to say to us. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You're saved. If God has quickened us together with Christ, caused us to believe Him, believe on Him, by His grace we're saved. We're saved. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Let's all stand together.